Silva, you absolutely suck.
Ireland, baby, we did it. Yeah. Welcome along to Obviously Fight Talk, episode 46. New surroundings. It looks beautiful. It looks fancy. Ariel Helwani's not sitting there. You're not watching the MMA Hour. You're watching Obviously Fight Talk. I'm joined, as always, by hashtag WinDecision. Doesn't miss an episode. Mr. Robert Palin.
Thanks for having me, man.
The big, beautiful man on your big, beautiful screen from Fight Star Media, Alistair McKee.
Very fancy, lads. I love the setup.
Beautiful.
You're moving up in the world.
It's almost like you said that before. It's the podcast money. That's
yeah,
what
it's worth. Podcast money.
We're rolling it in. So today, you know, we're, as always, Fight Star Media, the fighter's choice. Everything you need in one place. I only have to ask that, man. Everything you need is right there. MMA Mix for all your MMA needs. Check them out for all the latest stories and some different interesting stuff with seminars and stuff. By all means, check them out. They're obviously good.
Because they would obviously fight, dog.
Danny, we're going to catchphrase the shit out of that. So today we're going to be joined by Chris Fields later on. So we'll get a chat with Chris. Just all about everything that went on with Bama. Unfortunately, Andy Clamp had to pull out of the fight at the last minute. The witching hour. We'll speak to Chris about that. We'll probably bring up a few other things like Ballybrack, like severe sessions, things like that. But we're going to talk about Bama Bellator as well. As we're in new surroundings, you know, we have to change it up a bit. So it's not, we'll have no quick fire news this week, etc. We'll have different topics. So let's jump straight into Bama Bellator. Bama Bellator. Some crowd in attendance.
Yeah.
Holy lamb
biggest,
of God.
Biggest I've ever seen.
Yeah, as in, like, you know, they even, it looked like there was more seats around cage area and stuff like that.
They pulled, did they pull the cage back a little bit to make the ramp bigger?
I'm not too sure if they did.
I think they might have, because when the Bellator portion was on, it looked like the stage was a little bit longer, the ramp was a little bit bigger. Yeah. So I think they did, but I love the way they switched from the Bellator setup to the
And it seems seamlessly now. Actually, you were cage side. For anyone who wasn't obviously in attendance, they're going, when are they going to be able to switch it up?
Yeah.
It was a Bama-Bellator show, so it was the two promotions, Bama and Bellator, obviously. And basically what happened was, Bama was the first section of the show. So what happened is, there was a Bama canvas. Now, it was in the circular cage, so it was the Bellator cage. But they had the Bama canvas where they announced on the canvas Norman Park versus Paul Redmond, February 24th in Belfast. But then, after the Tom Dukumwa-Alan Philpott fight, there was a little break and they changed the mat. They changed the canvas and then you were at Bellator. So it was fucking pretty impressive.
Yeah.
But just to pick through the card, basically, the show was opened by Ian Cleary against Andrew Lofthouse. And Andrew Lofthouse is obviously known as a toy fighter and a very good toy fighter. He didn't have any amateur background in MMA. He just jumped straight in the deep end.
Yep.
Taking on Ian Cleary, who's had a substantial MMA amateur background. And surprise, surprise, Ian Cleary dominated the fight by getting it and dragging it into the deep water, dragging it on the ground. And I said to Ian in our post-fight interview that basically it was probably one of the most dominant MMA fights you'll see, and it would be certainly the most dominant fight on the card. Yeah. And I think it turned out to be that way, really.
Yeah, you said, like, what'd you say? It could be 30-26, 30-25. I was like, I think it could be 30-24.
Yeah.
I loved when he turned around and he goes, yeah, I went in there and I took him down and I found it was easy, and then, you know, just kept taking him down because, you know, what, as Ryan Curtis says, I don't go to my hairdresser and want jobs.
Yeah.
I don't win and cut hair. I just want to sit on my arse, basically. Yeah. So I went in and I just took him down. But yeah, very good performance. MMA debut.
Yeah.
Pro debut. Mm. So it was a really good fight to start it off. Now, obviously not everyone's taste. It was kind of a technical grappling match on Cleary's behalf, but I thought it was a really good fight to start it off.
100%, yeah. Any thoughts on that one, Alistair? You were obviously in the fancy seats.
Ryan Curtis was saying a lot of positive things about him all week, and then when he went in there and put on that performance, you just could tell that he was ready for the professional ranks, and I think that performance will do him well for his next fight, and hopefully he can push on and keep improving. He looks like a really good fighter.
Yeah, he's very dominant. Ian Cleary, obviously fighting out of SBG Charlestown, Primal MMA as well. I know them as a force of habit. Obviously under our own Roddy. Yeah, again, Cleary has been around the game as an amateur. He's seen it all. He was a champion in his weight class, an amateur, and he looked phenomenal in there. Yeah, he looked comfortable. You know, I thought one thing I always think people sort of don't consider when they're doing this, like a dub stepping in the tree arena is the dream, you know, and he looked like he really handled that very well.
Do you know what's kind of interesting that it just came to me just now, with a lot of Irish fighters, it seems like they're going to get a lot more experience on that stage than someone from the UK or someone from America, because when a show comes to Ireland and they want to have local fighters,
bolster up,
they can usually sell out the Tree Arena, or at least sell out the bottom half as they done and put the screen up. So you're going to get these young Irish fighters like Cleary and King Cowley, who was making his amateur debut and come in and he fought in front of a huge crowd. I think that's a huge advantage for these young Irish fighters who can get in there, fight in the Tree Arena in your first or second fight, or even like the likes of Rhys McKean, your fifth fight and win a title. I think that's going to just help you, you know, in your future career.
100%. We also seen on Friday the early fights. There was a large crowd had already turned up to watch the early fight, and they brought massive support with them.
Yeah,
and you could hear them. You could hear the support from up in the rafters, up in the top decks of the
100% stadium. 100%. Yeah, the next fight of the evening, seeing two dubs, Blaine O'Driscoll taking on Neil Ward. Neil Ward literally cleared out the ranks as an amateur. Blaine, same, very similar. Great fight, great exchanges. Blaine got the nod. I believe it was a majority decision, was it?
Yeah.
Blaine got the nod. In a great fight, Neil Ward landed some counter strikes in the fight, but again, two young prospects. Unfortunately, it moves Neil to 2-3, which, you know, for me, you know, records, this whole record DJs, you know,
you said that every show,
every
once
show,
every show.
I like Neil Ward as a fighter. He's a great fighter fighting under Paul Couser, but he came up against a very tough O'Driscoll in this one, and O'Driscoll rightly so. Got the nod as well. Then moving on to one of the people's main events, you can nearly say as well, was Kiefer Crosby versus Conor Reardon. Crosby looked great in there.
Crosby looked great. I just want to shout out to yourselves in fight. So we didn't get an interview with Kiefer after the fight. I can't remember what happened. We couldn't get an interview, but he done a great interview with Fight Star, talking about fighter pay and wanting big fights and wanting to fight for money, and it was really, really interesting. But the fight itself, very, very good performance by Kiefer. Conor Reardon didn't look bad. Kiefer just looked very, very good.
Yeah, Conor, he was threatening. He was threatening knee bars
and stuff,
and heel hooks and everything. But Kiefer was stay calm and composed, and I was landing some beautiful elbows. Beautiful, Kiefer's elbows.
From where I was sitting, James Gallagher was standing just a couple of meters away, and he was going mental. He was screaming. It was him that shouted at Kiefer to start throwing elbows, and once he started doing that, he fought Reardon backwards, and Reardon went to the mat trying to get the leg lock, and it was exceptional for Kiefer because he didn't give in, and he was just going to fight through it. He was either going to get his leg broke or he was going to win the match.
Another standout then was a beautiful finish by Richard Coyle. Absolutely, time, precision, step in, knee.
Yeah,
that took Keith McCabe out, and Keith McCabe is known for his toughness.
Yeah,
strong, heavy hitter. But Coyle, when he got in there, coming from a kickboxing background, you could tell he was comfortable. He was relaxed.
Hands down.
Beautiful step in, knee, and he called out the SPG killer after it. Sean McColgan got a call out after it. I think
that'd be great for you.
I think in the cage, am I right in saying, Alistair, you were there outside, we were stuck in the shoebox media room. did he call out Paul Daly?
I think so.
Paul Daly?
Paul Semtex Daly.
Jesus.
Yeah, MMA debut and you're calling for Semtex. That's a big set of Irish balls right there.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
But let's say, rather than shooting through the whole card here, obviously, just looking at the Bama side of things, and then moving it on up to the co-main event. What a kid.
Yeah.
Reese Skeletor McKee. What an absolute killer. We may as well let the cat out of the bag. We did have an interview with Reese, but unfortunately, due to technical issues, it didn't...
Don't laugh, Alistair.
Didn't take.
About
so, Yeah, unfortunately, there was issues as we're in a beautiful studio, but unfortunately, a beautiful studio is unforgiving.
Complete apologies to Reese, because that was one. I think for me, and I think for you as well, was one of the most enjoyable interviews we've done.
Yeah.
That was really, really good. And just
so it went.
Goddamn technology. We'll get him back very soon.
Reese, good friend of the show, so we'll get him back. But anyway, forget about technical issues. Let's talk about technical finishes. What an absolute finish by Reese McKee to that fight. Speaking to Reese that no one will ever hear, he was saying he felt in the fight he stayed on the outside just enough the way he wanted to. But looking back after the fact, watching the fight, he thinks he was staying outside too long.
It's a pity that that Alistair wasn't listening in. We could have reenacted it.
Well, what we could do is we could get like a genius to look at the video footage of Reese and lip read it.
Lip sync.
That'd be quality. Although,
you know, Skype.
Yeah, it won't be good. But no, Reese McKee looked absolutely phenomenal in there. And I think, as we said, there was 2.2 million people watching on Unilad.
Yeah.
And as much as we all know who Reese McKee is, and you know the majority of Irish fans, MMA fans know who Reese McKee is, a worldwide audience now knows who Reese McKee is and will be genuinely clamming to see his next fight. Like, it was his finish against Joey Herbert, who is the same, 4-0 at the time. This was
undefeated at amateur level too.
And this was the two top dogs under the Bama flag calling for Mark D. Casey's vacant title. And Reese McKee landed the shots and beautifully paid homage in the cage, raised his hands and just looked spectacular in there. And I honestly think everyone, there was that good, feel-good factor in the whole arena. We're meant to be unbiased, but we were all clamoring and cheering for Reese McKee that night, and he didn't let us down. Phenomenal performance, and the world, as I said to him, is your oyster.
Yeah.
What did you think there, young fella?
I done an interview with Reese this time last year, and the headline was McKee aims for title contention in 2017 or 2016, and he's put his dream into reality. I'm a big fan of him as well. And when I seen his hand raised at the end, it's just, you could see how much it meant to him, how much it meant to his team.
Mm.
And then he dedicated to his father as well, which was, I think everybody was just, it's heart-wrenching for everybody in attendance.
Absolutely. And you got to give it to Joey Herbert as well. Joey Herbert came out and he brought the fight. I'm looking forward to watch his return as well, because no doubt he'll learn from it as well.
Beautiful performance by Reese. A star is born.
100% the star, it definitely is born. If you didn't know who he was, you do now. I got a little passionate about that in the interview as well, that you can find on obviously Fight Talk on YouTube. I got a little bit passionate about it. Moving on to, I think it would be fair to say, fight of the night.
Oh yeah, I think so.
Yeah, definitely.
The fire kid Tom Ducamore taking on the apprentice Alan Philpott.
Yeah.
A lot of people thought Alan Philpott was going to get blown away in this fight. I know Alan, and I know him very well. I've spoke to him for years, watching him fight a lot, and I was fearful for Alan coming into this fight.
We spoke about it. We said if Alan Philpott won that fight, I think Alistair said it would be the biggest upset in Europe, and I don't think he was far off. Alistair, I don't think you were far off in saying that.
The first round was just, it was, if you're trying to convince somebody that MMA is awesome and they're going, I don't really like it, show them that first round. It was beautiful mixed martial arts.
It says a lot when Ducanois said in his post-fight interview that, look at my face, nobody touches me like this.
Yeah.
And then he was very congratulatory to what Philpott had done. I don't think anybody's put him in that sort of position before. And Philpott surprised a lot of people.
100%.
A lot of people.
And like Go on, sorry, I'm cutting across.
This is the most focused we've ever seen him for a fight, and the most relaxed, I thought, as well.
What we were watching the cage side, as all of us were, but I was saying to Rob, you know, Jesus, that was some round. I said, but it's going to be difficult to keep that up for the three rounds. And this is where Tom Ducan was world-class, giant.
Yeah.
He kept pace, and he just caught Alan again. I thought it was a right hook that caught him watching it, but when we watched the replay, it was obviously a beautiful elbow again, very similar to what he'd done in Birmingham. and that was the beginning of the end. He got Alan Hurt, got down, got position, and got the rear naked choke. And as we said, you know, that old cliche, if there's no loser here, there was a loser, unfortunately, it was Alan Philpa. But in that loss, he climbed, I think. He showed that he belonged at a world-class level. And I don't think there's any ifs, ands, or buts about that. He looked amazing. And I was delighted he came into the media room after to have a chat with us. And I was delighted he'd done that because his performance warranted being interviewed as a winner because he looked great. And I think he's gone off. Like, Alan is only 24, which is insane. Like, I've known him around his name around the game for so long.
Yeah.
But I can just see Alan getting bigger for and better for that. And he knows he belongs at that level. And that belief will have to grow inside of him.
Yeah.
And I think the next man to fight Alan Philpott is in for a next level. Alan,
I think as well, the reaction backstage, one of the things that stood out to me was we were speaking to somebody who you'd know from Bama. If you watch Bama, you'd know this person. You'd know his voice anyway. And he said that, assuming Duke and Watt doesn't re-sign with Bama, who beats Alan Philpott at that weight?
Yeah.
Like, that's what he said, and I kind of agree with him. I don't know who at that weight you can bring in who will really compete with Alan Philpott. I think Philpott is one of the better fighters in that division. Taking out Dukamot, or even including Dukamot, he's one of the best players in the division.
I have to be honest, I wouldn't mind seeing a rematch. Belfast, imagine Alan Philpott, Tom Dukamot, part two.
I just can't
Belfast.
See Tom Dukamot staying. I think when he was talking about moving to America and stuff.
It's the move now. You know, there's three letters in it, you know what I mean? And yeah, it looks that way. So then Bama turned its lights off, literally, I believe. Was there like a power cut or something at that stage? You were a cage side.
I'm not
sure.
Went up into the audience.
You went up.
3 points.
So then Bellator turned its lights on and opened the show with Cameron Else taking on Dylan the Nuke Took. And I spoke cage side with you, and I said this is like Ash Daly or Conor McGregor fighting here.
Yeah.
Or Andrew or Chris Fields or the ole ole's, the atmosphere. Dylan does what he does. He dances out like Apollo Creed. There was a real good factor. Ole, 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 ringing around. It was deafening. It was phenomenal. And then Cameron Nels thought, fuck this shit. I'm plugging that noise out.
Yeah.
And just landed big.
You could literally hear a pin drop.
Yeah.
When he landed that shot, the crowd just went silent.
But you could always hear that one woman in the crowd going, but wow, a big shot by Cameron Nels. Dylan Took, I don't think that's going to, you know, he's 3-1 now from that. And I honestly think he's at that young age where he'll learn from that. He'll bounce back. I loved his reaction after he got beaten. The whole, he took it well. The whole, as we say, John Kavanagh's win or learn. He adopted that, and it reminded me very much of Conor in defeat. And I just think Dylan will learn a lot from that. He's an amazing fighter. He's got an amazing attitude.
What was that experience like? You said you went into the crowd for that fight. What was that like in the crowd?
I was up before when they were changing over to Bellator. I was back down for that fight.
Oh, okay.
But when he got knocked out, like, I just turned around and everybody had their mouth open.
Yeah.
Like, nobody could believe what just happened. And then you seen the replay and you're just like, holy crap, what's happened? Like,
yeah, he got caught.
Right on the just, money.
It came out of nowhere. Shocked everybody.
Big shot, and you know, you know, as much as you have to hold your hands up and say, great shot by Els, you know what I mean? You really do, you know, as much as, like, we'd be fans of Dylan as well, Dylan's being on the show, but, you know, I honestly think, and we'll talk to Chris Fields about this as well, because Chris Fields will be very tight with Dylan, to see what Chris thinks about it, but, you know, Dylan did say something on Facebook, and I loved it, the whole, the sun rose today, you know, the life still goes on, you know, and I honestly think it'll stand to him, and he'll learn lessons from it, and he'll come back bigger and better. And again, almost like Philpott, you know, he'll come back and he'll learn from that, and, you know, God help the next guy who's fighting Dylan Took, because he's going to have an angry, hungry Dylan Took, because if he wasn't hungry enough. I'm not going to lie, a fight I didn't really get to see was Daniel Wichel against Brian Moore. I was in the media room interviewing, well, beside Cameron Els getting interviewed.
I just seen the finish. I seen the sequence of the finish, and it was a rear naked choke, I believe. And it was
a head and arm triangle.
But yeah, it was always a tough ask for Moore.
Yeah.
Again, I didn't see the full fight, I just seen the finish, so I'm not sure how we done apart from that. But Daniel Voigt, he's a beast, I think.
Yeah, well, I think they were talking him up, weren't they, as title contention after
He could have been title contention before that, so yeah.
he called for the title shot after the fight. Brian Moore held his own in the first round, I thought, and like he was up against it, obviously, but he was defending well, and he just needed to keep it on the feet. But then the second round, it went to the mat, and of course, Whitechill has I don't know how many submissions on his record, and he just overpowered him on the ground. It's just. He just faded then, and
talking about
he got the victory.
You're talking about title contenders then as well. She has to, hasn't she? Sinead Kavanagh.
Yeah, she was calling for it.
Yeah, talking about domination by Ian Cleary, probably matched actually now that I think of it. Not the same card as Bellator, so I'll get away with what I said earlier. So, Sinead Kavanagh. Mind you, though, I'm going to chance it. Colleen Lydia. Whatever, Elena.
What the fuck is that?
I went Japanese. Elena, she can ship some. She can take some punishment.
Yeah, she can. Like,
now, Sinead was saying she was just off with a lot of her shots. Yeah, she said she was just missing.
Yeah, even in, there was a gift that got put up during the fight, and it was like Sinead Kavanagh landing bombs, and she actually didn't land a lot of the shots she was throwing, but she was getting in position. She was throwing the shots. They just weren't landing, but she was still landing a good few of them.
At the end as well, now she nearly got the. She pulled her down into the rear naked choke. Yeah. And, you know, if the clock was ticking, it'd be interesting to see what you wrap that up and showed everyone a new wrinkle to the game. She hits heavy, doesn't she? That's that boxing coming into fruition, though. You know, I honestly think you throw Sinead into any division in any promotion, and she's causing ripples in it. You know, I don't think there's. I said it to her again in the post press interview. Again, available on obviously Fight Talk on YouTube. Not that we're plugging the channel, but I did say
Look
to
away.
Her.
It's your show.
I did say to her, you know, honestly, anyone who sees their Sinead's name on a contract might be a little reserved in signing that contract because you're going to get hit and you're going to get hit hard.
Yeah.
So it definitely should be a big standout. Then the big one that was got all the hype due to a certain pretty boy, Anthony Taylor. This one got a lot of hype, man. It even got political at the press conference.
We
can blame Fightstar for that. They asked a political question, wasn't it?
Fucking instigators.
Yeah, big time. I knew it. James Gallagher took on Anthony Taylor, and Gallagher got the win in the third round. By rear naked choke, and it was a really, really weird setup because, you know, the fight was back and forth, and I said it at the time. I said Anthony Taylor is throwing punches from his grandmother's house. He was fucking flinging them. He was, and Gallard did allude to that in the scrum as well. That, you know, he'd never seen anyone like fight like that. He's fought he trains with high level strikers. So for somebody who looks like they belong fighting outside of a chipper, it took him a while to get a read on that. Do you know what I mean? And that's understandable. But what shocked me was when Anthony Taylor was doing the scrum. And he said, when James Gallagher was on his back, he said, I've never been in a position like that.
That's what I was going to bring up.
That was making me go, what?
Yeah. Well, then he talked about only been training for 2 years. Yeah. And that kind of puts into perspective, even with James, who I'm a big fan of, but people do have to understand that he's still young in this game. He's very, very young. And he hasn't seen a fighter like that. Now, to be fair to James, I think having not seen a fighter who's that wild and, you know, Charles on the back garden is more acceptable than not having your back taken. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was a bit of a strange one. It was kind of puts things into perspective of how young these are.
Fair enough. He might be not familiar with his back being taken. But walking across the cage while sticking your tongue out, looking at your corner with your neck up against a killer. Like I said, the anaconda's on his back, he's fucked.
Yeah.
And then he sticks his tongue out.
Yeah.
Like, James Gallagher must be thinking, Happy Christmas.
Yeah.
You'd think he'd want to have trained something like that for, you know, Gallagher, that Gallagher is a submission artist and you have to train defense or something like that. You couldn't be not put in that position at this level.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then when the fight ended, of course, then James went over and it was something that I'd imagine would be a highlight reel in James's thing. Like, you know, like a promo. He handed Taylor the flag and said, raise my fucking flag.
Yeah.
And then in the post first, he says, you come in here, you insult my country, I'll make you raise my country's flag.
That was a good line.
That was like quality. That was absolute quality. So James Gallagher moves to 5-0 now and co-mained Bellator. So the future is bright for James Gallagher. A lot of people are asking for a stiffer opponent against them. Cameron Els, who beat Dylan Tuke earlier in the night, said he'd like to fight him in March.
Very, very interesting
fight.
But
again, I think James Gallagher's name is coming out of a lot of fighters' mouths because they know what comes with it.
Yeah.
So you can't blame fighters calling out James Gallagher. But 5-0, James rocking the co-main event in Bellator 3 arena. Stuff of dreams. Main event, seeing King Mo taking on Ishii. This was bit of a letdown, really.
It was a bit of a letdown, and King Mo did apologise for the fight. I don't think he had any reason to apologise. He was trying to engage. Unfortunately, Ishii just wasn't engaging as much as he would have hoped. And, you know, it does take two people to make a good fight.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it didn't turn out that way. Mo got the win. But, I don't really like seeing fighters apologise for fights because, you know, you're going in there, like, technically you're risking your life. You know, things can happen in there. But you're going in there to do a job. If the job doesn't turn out entertaining, what can you do? It's unfortunate. But good win for Mo, and, you know, that puts him in a good position now to probably challenge for the title.
He's fighting on...
he's fighting Ryzen.
Ryzen Grand Prix. And did he get Crow Cop? Has that been a draw or something? Someone messed me going, what you think of King Mo fighting Crow Cop? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe
one thing I will say as well, just... being backstage when he came back for the scrum, he's not that big.
No, I tell him.
Crazy that he fights a heavyweight. I know. Yeah. He's really like a shit. Could be a middleweight, you know, if he cuts down. But that is crazy that he fights heavyweight.
And come here, what a fucking top guy.
Yeah, nice guy.
Everyone done the scrum with him. And somebody asked the question, where's your crown? And he was like, do you want to wear my fucking crown? And all of a sudden, journalists, how dare they? We're all queuing up to wear the crown. I felt guilty of it, but I'm not a journalist. I'm a host of a podcast. But I got me squared off and choked out.
I didn't wear the crown.
Yeah, you didn't wear the crown. You're not fitting of the crown.
I think it was great to hear him say how much he loved Ireland and how much the fans over here meant to him, because he doesn't get that back home. And I think he enjoyed the experience. 100%.
He seemed to absolutely lap it up, didn't he?
And another thing he said, remember he was talking about giving the fan... tickets. Funny enough, that guy commented on our video saying King Mo gave us free tickets, and he went on to tell him that he was in contact with him and he thought it was a wind up, and he went to the arena and they were there sitting for him. Like, what a top guy.
Yeah, proper guy. And he's bound to get sponsorship by Nando's. The amount he spent Nando's everywhere. Did you see the video after when they were back in the hotel, by the way? They were back in the hotel, King Mo and Ishii, and he was showing them how to take it back from a single leg takedown or something. Yeah, after that's the fight excellent. And all. Yeah. So again, amazing. That's another point to Tom Duke.
Sunset Burger.
What? Sunset Burger.
Nando Sunset Burger. Remember that thing?
That the old guy had with the extra hot sauce, and these were all thinking I'm mad.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That was fucking Nando sponsors.
next level.
Short story of that was we were away with work in London, and we went to Nando's, never been there. So, I says, oh, I'll have the hot burger or whatever it was. And I went and I got the scalding hot sauce. And they're all looking at me. I didn't buy a drink. I didn't want a drink. And they're all looking for me, expecting steam to come out of my ears. They have no idea that my wife could make like a bowl of cereal and it'll be spicy. everything in my house is spicy. My missus loves her hotness. That's why she's with me. Oh, the dubs. The Sunset Burger was grand. It was nice. So moving on, just what I want to do quickly here, just your thoughts. Biggest winner on the night, two cards together. Who's the biggest winner?
Reese McKee.
Yeah,
definitely.
We're all
definitely
Reese McKee.
I'd
say closely followed by Sinead Cadna as well. I honestly think Sinead really.
I think if she got the finish, I think it'd be a bit more of a statement.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Tom Duke was unbelievable, but I mean breakout. You know, the big.
Yeah,
here's a star.
Was, 100%.
And again, the losers, the likes of Brian Moore, Dylan Took. I've no doubt they'll go straight back and win or learn. And I look forward to seeing them back in the circular cage. Magic. So moving on, we are going to do our little top five list. Now Alistair is blind to this. He has no idea what we're talking about. So this is in honour of Reese McKee, as that was unplanned, by the way, that you picked Reese. Swear to God, people, it really was. So this is the star making performance, the thing that sort of takes you to the next level and makes people sit up. So it's top five, but we'll give you two outside of the top five, Alistair, just to give you a little top
rest. Nose a little bit.
And you try and have a think there to anything that in your little young mind, I don't know who he tearing is, think that can stand out. So we had as number seven, if it existed, notable mention, was Junior Dos Santos beating Fabricio Verdun. Obviously, Junior went on to become the heavyweight champion, but that was the real stand-up moment for
Verdun. Verdun was like this close to getting a title shot. Yeah. Got put in there with Dos Santos, who was an up-and-comer, and everyone was thinking, here's Verdun, going to put this guy away and go on and get a title shot.
To get title
and
shot,
then he gets knocked out, gets into a contract dispute with the UFC. They're like, oh, well, you got knocked out by some nobody, and then leaves. But yeah, it was a big moment for Dos Santos. Unfortunately, not on the list, because I think him, you know, progressing to get the title was a bit more what people would say him becoming a star, but it was a big moment.
It was the big shining light on it. And another notable mention just before we hit the list was Ronda Rousey, Misha Tate, the Strikeforce bout. So there was a lot of hype behind Ronda, but when this happened, and Jesus Christ, when Misha Tate was made, she looked like she was Stretch Armstrong. That was a big fight that made a lot of, like, the whole, you know, opposed to women's MMA in some ways, really taking notice of a superstar. Rob really wanted this in the list.
Yeah, I wanted this on the list.
It's not because we were in a hurry to get it done and need to start. So that's notable mentions, okay? So now we're going to start the list. Funny feeling the first name is going to fuck him up straight away. So number five, we have BJ Penn. Do you know BJ Penn?
I know who BJ Penn is.
Against,
of course you knew who BJ Penn was. Come on.
Who was his breakout fight against?
I don't know.
We won't put him on the spot that much. So it was
Kyle Uno.
Well, you might remember the fight. He was wearing like bright orange tap out shorts, wasn't he? With the tight tap out shorts with white trimming.
Yeah.
Look at the hair, the MC and me white trimming. Yeah. BJ literally went in and landed big shots. He fell against the cage and was just like punching him in the face, digging him in the head. And
wasn't it a flying knee to the
yeah,
it was beautiful,
phenomenal.
But BJ Penn, I think he was like 4-0 going into that
fight.
No, he
was like 2-0
was he? 2-0 going into the fight.
2-0
possibly. But yeah, huge breakout. The reason why they call BJ Penn the prodigy, the prodigy, as Mike Colbert said that one time, it's because he went in there, he got the first American to get a black belt from the Gracies, and then goes in there in MMA and starts beating up guys, and just
phenomenal,
absolute beast.
Number four, this is contentious to be on the list here, because
Ronda Rousey should be on this list.
Has he done that since? But I think everybody was like, holy shit, and the gifs and the highlight went around, was Michael Venom Page, the knockout of Cyborg, and cracked his skull down it, done the Pokemon dance after. It just went huge, so it just exploded. Now, I know his last performance was a bit flat, but Michael Venom Page against Cyborg, that was a big moment as well. That was a big coming out party, if you like, for Venom Page. A lot of people stood up and took notice against a high caliber guy, in fairness, in Cyborg. Not the highest caliber guy, but a higher caliber than he has fought previously. So a bit of a jump out for him. Again, agree, disagree, fucking moan.
Yeah, I disagree, but
talk to YouTube, because like people read that and care.
Don't discourage comments. I don't know if it deserves a spot in the list.
It was a
huge win.
Alistair has just lost his fucking right to episode fucking three invite. So number three is Frankie the Answer Edgar beating BJ Penn for
BJ
the first
Penn on the other side of the coin this time.
So this time BJ was the scissors cutter for
this was a big one I thought, because Edgar went in there against BJ, who BJ was coming off that huge win against Diego Sanchez where he absolutely cut him up and choked him, and nobody gave Edgar a chance. Edgar went in there and he beat BJ, and then he beat him in the rematch.
Some people thought it BJ won it.
Some people thought, I didn't think
some
he did.
Some people who are idiots thought BJ Penn won the first fight. Did you watch that fight? That was in Abu Dhabi. Was it the first one? Abu Dhabi. Was that the first one? Yes. Yeah, because I remember they were all in their, it was outdoors and all.
They built the stadium.
Matt, did you ever see that fight, young man?
I have seen that fight, It's a huge victory for Edgar. I think that just shocked everybody at that stage.
And then he rightfully, he won the rematch, and then he had that great fights with Gray Maynard as well.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, great. Unbelievable, Jeff. Number two was Anderson, the Spider Silva.
Should be number one, but
versus Chris. What was Chris?
Crippler.
The Crippler, Lieben. So the Crippler Chris Lieben versus Anderson Silva. This was, I remember Joe Rogan was like a fucking teenage girl at a One Direction concert. He's like, oh, Anderson Silva's here. And he was like so fucking wetting himself. And Anderson Silva just, you know, we all know what happened and what he went on to do. arguably probably one of the best mixed martial artists to ever walk the planet, Anderson Silva. And that night, you look at his old footage on Cage Rage and all that, like, and and Anderson Silva just absolutely phenomenal and really put him on the world scene. So that was number two. So we always like to we like to put you in the hot seat for number one. We tend to do this to the last best, don't we? So number one, breakout moment. Who do you think you're talking?
Anderson should
have been. McGregor.
Who?
McGregor.
Against?
Versus?
Chad Mendes.
Ooh, it was a good shout. That was not the one.
Earlier.
Yeah, it was earlier.
Dustin Poirier.
No. Just keep going back.
Yeah, get on Tapology there. We put it down as Ivan Buchner,
because
he became the two-weight champion in Cage Warriors and signed for the UFC. Yeah. So the world stood up and took notice, as in, you know, the ones that count, the big wigs at the UFC. Like, so Conor McGregor tops the list along with the RTE Sports Person of the Year. But yeah, so Conor McGregor takes it. So again, your list there was BJ. We always put Conor on top of everything. We're gonna have to change this for international.
Well, to be fair, this one, to be fair, we put that on top of the list, and then I said
worked our way down,
and we were like, "Oh no, that's not gonna be forced." And then we were late, so we left it.
No, but in fairness, here's where the argument comes. Conor McGregor became the two-weight world champion at Cage Warriors, knocking out Buchner, right? Who hadn't lost a fight up until like last week or something since, right? But he's now the two-time champion of the UFC, so he's went on to fucking incredible things.
It was the fight where people were like, "Holy shit,
he's the biggest MMA star in the fucking world."
It was, like, to be fair, I say that, but it was the moment, and when he landed that beautiful, it was a left hook, wasn't it? Where he just slipped the punch and left hook. That's when people
left straight, wasn't it? Was it left hook or left straight?
That was a left hook. Whatever, left. It was a left hand. That was the moment where people goes, "Holy shit, this Irish guy can fight."
That's where he announced himself to everybody, not in Europe, but in the world.
Exactly, and
big time.
Everybody started shouting at the UFC to get him into the UFC then.
The moment I knew that was when Conor was going to get to the UFC was when Joe Rogan retweeted it or tweeted it and said, "Holy shit, look at this guy knocking people out in Cage Warriors." And I was like, there you go.
It's rolling. Speaking of Conor, let's just keep it on the team because he was voted the RTE. Sports person of the year. I've done it twice. Did you read the article in the Independent, Alistair?
No.
Oh, so I was hoping you did.
I've seen it.
That's all that matters.
What?
Yeah. So the journalist's name is escaping me right now. Is what's the journalist's name?
You got some music.
I can't remember.
Doesn't matter. We'll find it. Yeah, you tagged me in it.
Continue. It was Paul Kimmage or something.
Paul Kimmage.
Yes.
On Dylan Too.
Yes.
Well, on MMA as a whole. So he basically. He basically spoke not too long ago on after watching, and he was basically saying that Dylan Too was a young barbaric tug, basically. But then, like, after he formed these opinions, and he said he even underestimated, he was in a debate that night with Ash Daly, and he was like, he didn't realise that a girl could be, like, so intelligent, so to fight like this, he said, let's face it, beautiful, and he said, and have this, he said, so I wanted to immerse myself and see it. So basically, he went out to SBG, and he sat and watched it, and he was like, are these tugs? And he wanted to sort of have a look at it to see. Yeah. And the only thing that he didn't do at the very end of the article was acknowledge it as a sport.
To be fair to him and just human nature, people find it very difficult to say they were wrong.
Yeah.
And I think he went in a roundabout way to say, okay, I was wrong, but he didn't really want to admit it. And as a human being, people can understand that, but yeah, he was wrong. But again, I think the cat was let out of the bag. We kind of spoke about this earlier, but we don't want to go around defending the sport because...
Did we speak about it earlier? Was that on the early edition that didn't record?
Yeah, that's what I meant. We said it earlier. We recorded something.
Yeah, we are at the stage where we don't have to defend our sport.
Exactly.
If you don't like it, change the channel. It is a sport. You only have to look at the attendance on Friday night to see it's a sport. As I said, go on.
I seen Paul Kimmage around during the week. He was at the weigh-ins and he was at the press conference. I was kind of curious to see what he was doing there, and then I was hoping he'd give it a good light.
I think a lot of people were apprehensive, weren't they, that he was there for the wrong reasons.
I think he's shown that he's learned a lot about the sport, and it helps to further progress it in other people's minds.
And it's good to see, like, a journalist who, as you said, Rob, it's hard to admit you're wrong, but it's good to see a journalist come out. You'll find it on Independent Sport is where it is. I do apologise. I was stuttering there because I was looking for it. And he basically says, as you watch them embrace and listen to the sobbing, there are tears running down your face. Basically, that's how, you know, after Dylan Took's defeat and stuff, and you can see how they react and how people, you know, the effort people put into this sport.
What's mad, though?
Go on.
Like, who would have known that doing a little bit of research would help your opinion?
It's crazy, isn't it? Know something about it and to use. They always say, never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Yeah.
And this was, what's the guy's name? I always forget him. The rugby guy that had John Kavanagh on And that was literally just there to try and corner John Kavanagh and sabotage him and make John react. And John is too highly intelligent of a man to fall for that shit.
Yeah.
And he sat there and he outclassed them with things that they didn't pay any attention to that were called facts. And, you know, we're almost getting into it as much as we're saying we're not.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, look, people will always be against it. It's like trying to convince a Liverpool fan that Man United are better. Although it's true, they're not going to pay attention to it. So it's just something, you know, that's people like things and people don't like things. That should be the end and end all of it. You shouldn't go in with an opinion when you know nothing about it. And I think that article, if anything, shows that.
It does, yeah.
And it was a great, a celebration on Friday night for a great
It was actually a pretty good article, to be fair to him.
It was. Credit where it's due. And as you said, it's very hard for somebody to admit when they were wrong. And in a way, he did. Just some of the things that we did touch on earlier you go ahead.
I think the only thing about the article was that he didn't say it was a sport at the end. He just left it as a question.
Yeah, he said, I don't know. But
Just a couple of things that we did cover, and obviously Fight Talk Quickfire News, but we couldn't talk about it real quick, was Heath Herring is now in the Rising Grand Prix. Max Holloway has spoken about Jose Aldo, saying, look, I'm in a 10-fight winning streak. You've had 9 fights in the UFC in your career. Get back in your box, basically. He's worried that he'll pull out of the fight because he's a knack at doing it. The other things we spoke about, Joe Rogan tweeted about Amanda Nunes. We'll combine it, we can talk about it all. About Amanda Nunes getting no light, and it's all been about Rondas, which is a bit weird. And the weird one as well was Mickey Gall called out non-active Dan Hardy. So just a brief opinion of them things. Weird call out by Mickey Gall is my show. Joe Rogan sort of right, but at the same time, of course, the UFC are going to build the comeback. Max Holloway, fair play to you, Max. You are active, you are winning. Jose Aldo has just been talking a lot of shit lately, and a lot of it's not making any sense. His publicists or whoever need to say, rein it in there, Jose, will you? But that's a great fight. But there's, and Heath Herring. I don't know when his last fight was, but he's certainly entered the tournament with absolute killers. Crow Crop, Carwin, King Mo, Death Row.
Cool.
Happy days.
So
look, again, we are going to bring Chris Fields in as well now. So I can't wait to speak to Chris. He's an absolute veteran of Irish MMA. You will know him even if you're a casual fan, because Chris was obviously in The Ultimate Fighter alongside Cattle Pendred. Chris is an absolute legend. He's from the Brack. He's from the Borough. So we're happy. So welcome to the show when the comes to Chris Fields. Delighted now to introduce and making his first appearance on obviously Fight Talk. We are joined by Chris, the housewife's choice, the beautiful Chris Fields. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hey, thanks for having me on, lads.
No problem. Up the Borough, as we all say.
Up the Borough.
I was reading an article about you the other day, and it said Chris Fields from Swords.
I know. I've been seeing this a lot creeping in, dude. I know. Yeah. Well, that's where I live now.
Yeah.
And I don't. I'm only over there to drop my kid off my mom's. That's the only time I'm ever in Ballybrack anymore. But I still love it. It's still in my heart, dude.
Did you get dirty looks from all the lads from Ballybrack when you walk through?
No, I don't. I don't think anyone knows who the fuck I am over there.
So come here, let's dive into it straight away. I always used to introduce Ben and Will Fury as the porn stars of MMA because they've had more pullouts I think you've become the champion of the pullouts now. Talk us through it on the day, Chris, because I was watching the live feed and of the weigh-ins, and I was just expecting you and Andy Clamp to be announced next, and then we got the news of, unfortunately, due to medical reasons, this fight is being pulled. When did you find out that this happened? And just talk us through it in general.
Me and Andy both weighed in at the earlier weigh-in, the official weigh-in, and we both did our photos for the belt and all, so he was in the same situation as me. He had no clue that this was coming. And then I found out, I went home from there, went for food with Cahill in Chopped. We should drop that in for
him. Oh yeah, big time, yeah.
And then I got a call probably about like 1 o'clock, and they were like, listen, Chris, your man, I think it's the CEO of Bama, Ashley, rang me, real cool guy, actually, and he said, Chris, every time I ring you, it's bad news, so I promise next time I ring you, it's to bring you and your wife out for dinner in Dublin, like, but, and I was like, what's wrong, and he just said Andy had to pull out with a medical reason, like, and I was like, oh, shit, what?
And fairness, and then, The weigh-in, like, it couldn't, the witching hour, you'd done your early weigh-ins, everything was fine, you'd done all the squaring off, and...
Yeah, you know, like, to my knowledge, like, stepping on the scales, that's it, now we're fine. Once we get to the scales, it's guaranteed, you know what I mean? You're pretty much, you're guaranteed. Well, obviously not, though, but
and was it, that's what I thought. Did Andy Clamp get, like, did he fall sick the same way that, who wasn't the UFC recently, fell sick after a weigh-in and they couldn't, they had to call a fight. Was that the reason, or was it something they found in his medical, or were you even told this information?
I was just told it was something they found in his medical. They elaborated a bit more, but it wouldn't be my place to elaborate on what that was, you know what I mean?
Is it a case that the fight could be getting rematched, or, you know, obviously it's a quick turnaround for Bama here, they're back in Northern Ireland in February, so I would imagine they have to have you on that card anyway. And will it be for the strap again?
There is going to be some news on all this over the next few days, but I can't really say
anything. Exclusive,
right now.
Exclusive.
No, to my knowledge, it's not going to be Andy, no.
Did you speak with Andy after he got the news?
I had a beer with him at the fight. Everyone thought we were fucking mental. They were walking by, me and him were laughing our heads off, having a beer, chatting away. Like, real cool guy. Fighting has never really been that for me. Like, it's a chess game. I'm trying to figure the guy out. That's what I find exciting about it. Obviously, when I'm in there, I'm trying to put some physical harm on them, but I'm not trying to injure anyone for the rest of their lives. Or I'm hating the bullshit that's creeping on. People saying I'm going to actually kill him. He's going to be dead. What? Dude, the fuck?
So talk.
You want to live with that shit for the rest of your life?
You know what?
I want to fucking. Yeah, people are always like, I want him to bring his A game. I want him to have. Got the flu the night before, and like, he has some problems at home, and he's really not showing up. And I get in and get out easy. Like, you know, that's
King Mo was saying. That was very similar. He says, "You want to pay me $1 million to fight a quadriplegic? I will. You know, I mean, it's an easy fight, and I'll do it." So we were a spectator at Bama. We did see you backstage. What did you think of the show itself, Bama Bellator? Did you who stood out for you on the card?
As always, like, every time I've seen him fight, I've been very interested in his career for a while now. I bring him up a lot. Reese McKee looked amazing. I thought Philpott did really well. You know, people will just look at the result, but like, for me, another guy that always stands out to me is Tom. Like, Tom's one of the best guys on the planet right now. You know what I mean? He's phenomenal. Philpott gave him a lot of trouble in that first round. He gave him a lot of trouble. For me, those two stood out, basically.
Again,
Tom always stands out. You kind of expect that.
Yeah,
you know,
usually. Like, and we were talking to him after, and he's such a nice guy, you know what I mean? But he's an absolute killer, like, absolute. We done a list here of the top five outside the UFC, and we had Duke and Waz number one, and I definitely think it's there. You know, it's an absolute pleasure to watch him fight. Just your thoughts. This is
I think even when he was talking at the press conference, I was like, is just every girl sitting here going to be soaking wet after this? He's just like, I am, how you say, going to fuck your girlfriend? And you're like, all right, bro. What? No, wait, no, what? No, no.
And
he's
say,
just like, he's smooth as fuck, isn't he? He is so smooth, dude. So smooth.
Like. I got a proper little smile off him as well in my interview, because I turned around and
I got a little bit wet.
Said, I'm going to have to add you to a list of French people I like watching. That's Eric Cantona. And he went, oh, yes, Cantona. I says, Paul Pogba. He went, oh, Paul Pogba. And I says, and Tom Ducamois. And he went, oh, thank you, thank you. And then when the interview finished, he went, and Thierry Henry? I was like, don't fucking mention Thierry Henry to an Irish man.
Not in this country.
Said, and he was a gunner. But, someone I want to speak to you about, Chris, is because you know him closely. I know he's involved a lot in the SPG out in Sarge there with you now as well. Is young Dylan Took. Unfortunately, the ovation he got coming into the cage, it was unbelievable. It was similar to the atmosphere going around. It was like Ash or Connor when they were fighting in the Tree Arena. It was absolutely the ole, ole, ole's. But unfortunately, well, Cameron Els pulled the plug and he turned the lights off for Dylan, and he shut the crowd up fairly quick. So you work alongside Dylan. Dylan is such a young talent. How do you think this is going to affect Dylan? Or you know him a lot better than most. So what do you think will happen?
I've been chatting to him a lot, obviously, since the event. I was chatting him out the back after it happened. And me, especially, I can speak from first-hand experience. I've had it go every which way I can in there, you know. And I've been on the receiving end of what happened to him there. Mm. People expecting something major of you and getting sparked in 30 seconds, lying on the ground going, what the fuck just happened? This must be my night. That's the game. That's the game, you know. And if he wants to be part of this game, that's the game you're in. You have to deal with it. You have to deal with those things that happen. So I can't say for sure what's going to happen. I can say what I think is going to happen from how Dylan acts and how he holds himself. I can see him taking it all the right way and building on it. And, you know, in 4 years, no one will speak of it the same way they don't speak of Conor losing to Satenkov, the same way they don't speak, you know, it's just one of those things that happens to everyone at some point in their career. The thing is, like, and this has always been a thing in my own career, I've never had someone outclass me, never had someone take me down, control me, pass my guard at will, pound me out. I've never been taken down, I've never been pounded out, I've never had anyone get a position like that on me and pound me out. And Dylan had the same, he just got caught, you know what I mean? It's not a skill differential, it's not a big problem, it's something he needs to plug, you know, he's a bit of an issue dropping his hands and he's moving backwards. Tends to be a tall guy thing to do, anyway. You put your chin up and move backwards with your hands down. So that's something he needs to plug, but he has a lot of time to do it.
His opponent, His opponent actually said something in an interview with, was it Fight Star or Severe? I can't remember. Yeah. He turned around and he said, every SBG fighter is the same. They all come out, do a switch and throw spinny shit. So being an SBG guy, and he basically said they're all the same, why don't you get your own... What did he say? He said your own style or something. And he said, so they're all the same, and anytime we would be matched against them. And then he called out James Gallagher, and he said he'll do the exact same thing like every SBG fighter. So as an SBG fighter, what's your thoughts on that comment?
I don't show any spinny shit. Ever. And I actually specifically say at the start of every one of my classes when we do shadow box, I'm like, if anyone shows any spinny shit, they can get off the mat. Like, because I'm about basic, so I think, you know, look, Conor's going to have an effect on young fighters coming up. You know, I came up with Conor, not after him. So I have my own style. The same way Cahill has his own style, and Ash has her own style, and Roddy has his own style. But, like, of course he's going to have an effect on lads. But I don't really remember Dylan ever throwing any spinny shoes. I think he's right down the middle, straight shots with knees and stuff like that. He didn't really throw spinning kicks.
Did he open? I think he opened. He opened with a kick, actually. I'm not too sure. I was backstage and I was running out.
But, like, you know, look, Cameron Els is obviously trying to build a name for himself, and SBG is the biggest club in Europe right now, so why not pick on that club and pick some fights and whatever? I'd say Dylan would like another pop at him, but he won't get that for a while. Like, but you know, it was a clean shot he landed. It was a lovely left hook. Like, it was a peach of a shot. But he sounds like a little dickhead.
One of the things that John Kavanagh always says is win or learn. How do you, as a fighter, because you said you've been there before, how do you learn from a fight so quick where you just get caught? Can you learn anything from that? What do you take from a fight like that?
Yeah, you know, I'd have to sit down with Dylan and see how he felt in the walkout, see how he felt backstage, see how he felt in the build-up to the fight. Obviously, there's the real basic thing to take from it was his chin was up in the air moving backwards, you know. That's the basic. That's not that that mightn't be the root problem. That can just be like, that's a quick solution to something that may be a major issue. You know, he might have been like, Dylan's a very brash and kind of confident young lad, like, but he may have been shitting himself walking out there. You know, I don't I have to have a conversation with him about that and see how he was walking out. Maybe the occasion got to him a little bit. Only he can tell you that. I don't know that. I haven't had that conversation with him yet.
So a fight that
he came
was,
out with us on Saturday.
He went out after?
Yeah, no, on Saturday for the Christmas party for the gym, you know, and he was in good form. And, you know, he's like, my fight got pulled and I offered everyone in the gym their money back for the tickets and no one took it because they wanted to go watch Dylan, you know, so he feels loved out here. So
Yeah, I like what he done. His Facebook post the next day was fantastic. He said, the sun still rose. Do you know what I mean? Shit has happened. And I like that as well. Almost similar. You can see some fighters when they lose, they take it badly. But when you look at Dylan, he went to Elson, he kneeled down and he embraced him. You know what I mean? And it was something that a lot of people commented on when Conor was beaten by Nate Diaz, how he reacted to the defeat. And in a way, it was a good comparison that, you know, exactly as John Kavanagh says, win or learn. And you could see that Dylan accepted the defeat and now it's time to move on. Just to bring you back to Chris Fields, your last pullout previously was on Bama 26 against Mr. Paul Craig, who made his UFC debut there at the weekend. Again, there was a lot of build-up to that fight, Chris, and there was a lot of back and forth. And I know when they're selling a fight, it's a little bit of, you know, as you said, shit-talking. There you were with Andy Clamp having a few points with him. But again, with that Paul Craig, is that a fight that you really wanted? Because let's be honest, it was a good build-up to it. It was great. I was enjoying it, you know what I mean? You were giving him stick backstage. I was there. It was great, like.
Yeah. I'd love that fight. And after watching it the weekend, I'd love it even more. You know, I thought he landed a beautiful submission, but he looked very ordinary up to that point. It was a lovely submission, but like he pulled guard to get the submission, which is a very strange thing to do as a light heavyweight. He couldn't really take the guy down. He looked like he was struggling in the wrestling department, and both of them looked gassed after about 3 minutes. You know, it looked a bit scrappy. So it'd be a fight I'd be very interested in, but sure, we'll have to see what way both their careers go and the trajectory, and if we come across each other again. I'm concentrating on me and whatever's next there. You know, I don't really get caught up in that shit. I'm not really big into talking shit either. If I am going to talk shit, I'd like it to be in a press conference. I'm not big into Twitter or any of that kind of crap, you know. I'm too old for all that shit. I don't even have to use my phone correctly.
You were on Talking Brawls with Niall and you were saying about you're looking for a very active 2017, and we were sort of saying, as you just said, I'm going to bring it up since you mentioned the old man label, time is ticking like it does, the grey hairs are sprouting like they do. What is the
more than most on me, to be fair.
So what's the plan 2017? Is it do a cowboy and just fight every weekend, or what's the top process for 2017?
Yeah, I'd love to be crazy active. I'm starting to kind of get better at dealing with a fight camp, as in not letting them be all consuming. You know, I've kind of managed to get the balance, I think, right. So I'd love to be really busy. And if you're really busy, the fight camps are different. They're not a camp as such. You're just in training and then you fight, and then you're in training and you fight. And I think at light heavyweight, I don't have that horrible cut and all, so I can be really active. So my plan would be to fight at least 6 times in 2017, if I can, just stay really active and really busy and kind of get a few trips away with going with Cottle or wherever for go fight in Austria or Australia or wherever the hell it is, and then come home. You know, and I'm lucky to be in a point in my career where I have all those options. I'm constantly getting messages about fights that I can't do because I'm signed, you know, that kind of way. So I'm gonna try and stay really busy next year, and then the plan has always been to retire at 35, so I don't see that changing for me. I made promises to people that have put up with a lot of shit because of this sport and me fighting, so I'll stick to that, I think.
And how long does it take you to actually get down to light heavyweight? Many weeks?
I could do it in 2 or 3 weeks. Whereas when I used to fight at middleweight, it was fucking hell.
I remember I used to watch your vlogs.
Weeks of hell.
I used to watch your vlogs, eating the food and stuff. And I was, even though it was showing you eating, I was starving watching you. it was some cut. again, like, so you're saying you've been getting offered fights. So with Bama, especially with Bellator now as well, like, again, you're seeing Sinead getting the bump up to the Bellator. Reese got the bump up to Bellator. Is that something that Bama, or is that something that's viable that you could do? Like, if Bellator returned to Italy the way they were, would Bama basically loan you out for a fight that you could sort of free up and get more fights in that way?
That's the only way I want to do it. Like, I don't want to sign a contract, and I've stated this multiple times, where I'm signing for like a 4-fight deal, and because those 4 fights could be over 2 years, and that's not kind of where I'm at now. I'd be very, there's a few fights on Bellator I'd be very interested in, at light heavyweight. So if any of them were to come up and they were willing to do like a deal where a guy came over from Bama to find the Bellator card or vice versa, I'd be very interested. Bama are very good to me. Like, they know I want to be active, so they'll let me find other shows if they don't have something coming up, you know. But I don't think Bellator would be as nice, you know. So I don't think I'd be into signing with anyone, whether it be Bellator, the UFC, or anyone, to sign myself to a contract where I'd be stuck in it for the year, you know.
Another phase that, as much as you're saying, you know, you've made promises to people, it's great to see that you've opened up the SBG in Swords there now as well. So how's that going? How's it, you know, I'd imagine with the upsurge MMA here, like you were saying, everyone's, Conor has sort of infatuated the country. When I was growing up, everybody wanted to be Eric Cantona, and now everybody wants to be Conor McGregor. So, you know,
I grew up in the same area, and I wanted to be Robbie Fowler. I never wanted to be Eric Cantona.
Well, that's because you're a scumbag. But apart from that, like, you were across the border. I was nice. I lived at the back of Tesco's. It was grand. We were brought up correctly.
I was the bad side.
But so how's the gym going now? I'm sure you have huge membership out there as well, because I know Cottle does be there regularly helping you out along with Dylan and Ash and everyone.
No, it's flying. We're kind of starting to build a fight team. So they're, like, a lot of those guys did some low-level amateur stuff last year and did really well, and they're kind of running amok in grappling comps and stuff. So now, next year, they're going to all take their first fights, their first proper fights. So that's kind of exciting me, you know, as a coach. And I know that's my calling base. That's what I'm going to end up doing for a very long time. The gym itself, as in membership and all, is ridiculously healthy. It's flying far higher than we ever thought it'd be at this point, you know. We were kind of thinking if we can get 40 members at this stage, we'd be doing great. I think we've got 200, so we're doing all right. Like,
loads of little Robbie Fowlers running around.
Yeah, loads of little Robbie Fowlers. We had myself and Tom had a kind of long coaching career before we ever opened the place, you know, and we're both known as coaches before we opened. So we weren't starved for membership early on. Guys wanted to train with us, which is
That's something that I've been cage side and technically cage ringside and slash cage ring, and I've heard you coach plenty of times. And I have to say, your coaching is fantastic. It's very calm and precise. You hear a lot of corners, I'm sure you're aware.
Punch him in the face.
Yeah, but just saying, stand up, kick him, box him. But your coaching is phenomenal. I love sitting and listening to it. Like, just cage side, you can hear your instructions, and it's phenomenal. I've no doubt you'll be a hugely successful coach. But just in regards to, I hate to keep bringing up the old man thing, but Trevena, because when you started, you obviously started in the small garage with John and Cottle and all the earlys with Ash and everything, Paddy Hoolan, the old crew of SBG, if you like. So you as seen MMA from when you would have been growing up in Ballybrack, and they would have called you a cage fighter, and you know what I mean, that type of thing. Just from that angle, like, try to explain to the young pups that listen to this the odd time just what the landscape, how it's changed and what's different now in MMA in Ireland.
Well, this is like a big thing, kind of, you know, actually with a lot of young kind of fighters too. I'm saying like they're like, they kind of see the likes of the shows like Bellator and BAM have been in Dublin as like a birthright, or they deserve. I'm like, lads, like, God, hold on to this. Because like, if this goes, like, we mightn't see it again. They only know this, you know, they don't know fighting in school halls the way we did, like in front of 300 people, and most of them are your mates. They don't even like the sport. They're just coming because you're doing it. You know what I mean?
Few points.
And they like, we're selling out the Tree Arena for for shows now. That like, the lads need to hang on to it. And then the likes of like guys like yourselves wanting to do like interviews with people, and them kind of being like, I want it, like, it has to be this size show to do an interview with me. And dude, shut the fuck up. Do an interview with the lads. Everyone's trying to make a living from the sport. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, you kind of, I don't understand the mentality, and I can pretty much guarantee no one from my fucking gym will have it, because if they do, you can just give me a call and I'll sort it out fairly quickly. But it's you know, it's a responsibility for all of us to help it grow. It is. It's a responsibility to keep it growing, or at least keep it where it is. Mm. You know. But yeah, I think people don't really know, and they come up with this and they think they deserve this. You don't deserve shit. But, so what you deserve is 300 people sitting on school chairs in a fucking school hall somewhere.
And the heating's not turned on. The poor fighters are coming out like in a little pair of Bermuda shorts. Remember the Bermuda shorts from back in the day?
They'd be cutting the fucking zip off them at the side of the cage, because they're not letting them with the zip, because they might rip the fucking cage floor. Is that, like... Man, I remember walking out for a fight. I was fighting a French guy. That tends to happen a lot to me. But I was walking out, and there was no barrier separating me from the crowd. So people were just shouting, like, right into my face. It was like something out of Snatch. We were just short of two pit bulls in front of me. You know what I mean?
go down in a second. one of the memories from me that stands out with you as well was the back and forth you had with Johnny Jitsu back in the day, Johnny Redmond, and you'd done your famous crane stance as well.
Yeah. That was one of the first big fights, I think. I think it was the first time we got on a national newspaper, and I think we were on a bus or something, where that was major news time, that there was a picture on a bus of two fighters. Your man Ferguson, I know he got a lot of hassle off people, like, because I don't know, there was some money towards the end. I never had much dealings with him with that kind of sort of stuff. I never had any fighters on it. But he put on some good shows back in the day.
Yeah, he did, no doubt about it. You look back, like Roddy and Hill and everyone.
Yeah, and they were the first big shows. The Cage Warriors came just after them to Ireland, you know. He was kind of the first big shows I remember here anyway. I know John did them back in the day. He had the point at one stage, like, for a Ring of Truth.
Yeah.
But, Cage Honor or something like that. But, you know, the Cage Contender shows were great. I still have the belt here in the gym.
Yeah, but hold on to it, and hopefully you'll be joining it. You'll be sticking up the Bama one as well. Hopefully, when the news breaks, that when this show airs, everybody's like, oh, they have Fields on. He must be talking about that exclusive news. Not a drop of exclusivity about it. Listen, Chris, we'll let you go. We know you're in the gym. You're looking after your lads, even though you spruced yourself up. When we first called, he didn't look that good.
I'm actually not wearing any pants. I'm just wearing a jacket and a t-shirt. I've not underpants on.
That's lovely.
There's our lady viewership gone up now as well.
Is that a leather couch you're sitting on? You want to get up slow? I was going to say, if your balls naked.
You might recognize this couch from a certain show that you may have watched a bunch of times.
That's from which one?
The casting couch.
I thought you were going to talk about that junky gaff that you do that severe sessions in. And then Neil Seary arrives on it, and come here, I have to bring it up. I'm sorry, I do have to bring it up. The whole nobody taps out to a triangle in MMA. Neil Seary did not let you off that hook, did he?
I brought it up myself, to be fair.
Well, you had to, didn't you?
And then got absolutely destroyed for a little. I deserved it. Yeah. I deserved it for that one. I definitely deserved a bit of stick. And Neil would never be one to let you away with a bit of stick anyway. You know what I mean?
And come here, are the sessions coming back? Because they're brilliant.
I was just actually talking to Petey about doing one this week. We might bang one out this week. We might even just do it just me and him. Because there's so much going on with me from the last week and all. So we might chat about all that stuff. Don't worry, I'm not doing the exclusive on that.
It's your own show. You do what you fucking want.
No, but I can't announce anything until they announce it. Yeah. So I'm just waiting for contracts and all that
we,
stuff.
Oh, we could so edit that the way you said, till they announce it, and it's going to sound like Dana, and everyone's going to lose their fucking shit.
Yeah. It's post awesome. That on Reddit.
That's it, perfect. Chris Field said, they. Yeah, and that's it.
He said, they, nah.
Perfect. Reddit is going to blow. Yeah, definitely hit up the sessions. They're great crack. I know Petey wasn't too happy.
Who would just like to see on it? Because I'm always interested to see who people would like to see on a show.
I'd love to get Paddy on it again and sort of talk about life after again. Do you know what I mean? Or Ash as well. Because Ash is so involved with like Safe MMA and everything as well.
I was going to actually have Ash on and debate a little bit with her about the Safe MMA thing. Because I think Safe MMA thing is great. Mm. But are we going to end up going too far where no one's going to be able to fucking fight?
They're calling for amateurs as well, aren't they now?
That's pretty much happening. That's happening.
Yeah. No, it is. I see as well today that Andy Ryan has stepped down from IMA as well.
Yeah. I'd like to get the goss on that one too. Maybe bring Andy on.
Yeah, there you go. You know what I mean? Andy can have Neil Seary in making his cup of tea or whatever. But come here, where is that gaff? Because I swear to God, it's like Trainspotting Part 2. It's quality, though, man. I love it.
It's a session gaff.
It adds to the vibe. Yeah. Like
it's mad as fuck, dude. It's a loony place, but it's cool. It's a big, huge mansion in Sandyford, and it's just one of the rooms of it. It's massive.
It's like when we first started this, we were in a place called Radio Maid, and you'd be bringing guests in. You know, like we had James Gallard and Keane and Dylan and everything on. You'd be ringing them in, going, "Don't worry, lads, you're not coming into a junkie's den. It's grand. When you go into the studio, it's fine." You know, it was just off William Street, wasn't it?
South William Street,
South William Street. But it looked like a complete junkie gaff. It did right up until we got in. But look, listen, bring the sessions back. Great chatting to you, and come on whenever you want, because up the Borough.
Thanks, boys.
All right, listen, thanks for having time, and good 2017 to you, man, and happy Christmas. Enjoy it, and enjoy the family, all right?
You too, lads. Have a good one. Cheers, thanks, for having me on, yeah?
You're very welcome. Cheers, man. See you soon, lads. Bye-bye. There you are. You see, we have to have people on for Ballybrackmore often. We're fucking sound, we are. So we'll probably hit Alistair up here for a quick chat.
We'll bring Alistair back on, and we'll be back in 2 seconds. Yeah.
So there you are, that was Chris Fields with us there. We're going to wrap it up now. Things went a little haywire here. We have to apologise to Reese McKee. Reese, we will have you on again any time. Unfortunately,
that was just so disappointing.
It was a lovely chat. Lovely chat with Reese as well. Do you know what we should do? We should just put out air-sided questions and let people imagine what Reese said. That would be fucking awesome.
Can you do a good northern accent?
I'm not even going to try because... Reese isn't that bad, in fairness. He's not beautiful guy, and he's a fucking train killer, so I'm not fucking with him. Fight Out as to where this man is from. Fightstar Media. No, it was Fightstar Ireland they want us to blog.
Love the way, like, just for context, we're pointing here, but people have seen him here, so we probably should point here.
Yeah,
we need to get used to that.
So welcome to the show. Fightstar Ireland. Well, what's on sale? We didn't plug anything for. Says, do you know? Oh yeah, hold on.
Yeah,
hold on.
Still has a tag on it.
Still has a tag on it because Rob hasn't wore it. Yeah. The new. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Yep. The new Fightstar T-shirt available at Fightstar Ireland. It's a good T-shirt. I have one. Yeah. I wear one. Made with Fight Lab. Yeah. Quality T-shirt. You can get all your Bellator stuff there as well. Your Bellator snapbacks, T-shirts, all fancy stuff. But then you can get also your gloves, your shin pads,
ball shields,
your testicle holders. You can get them all and tell them, obviously, Fight Talk Lad sent you, especially if you're buying testicle holders.
Yeah, especially we love those testicle holders.
And MMAMix.com for all your MMA needs, stories. They're obviously good. They're with, obviously, Fight Talk. we'll see Daniel Mulvihedy next week. Daniel Mulvihedy is just on his travels like he does. Carly Big Daddy Doran, we'll see you soon too. The new studio is here. We apologise for a little text, little short show, but we'll be back. And officially, this is Happy Christmas.
Oh, it is, yeah.
So, all our listeners, all 6 years. Nah, there's more than six, there's seven. Yeah. now, to all our listeners, thanks for tuning in to us.
Give this a share.
Yeah, give a like and a share.
Share it everywhere.
@talk_fight. Obviously, Fight Talk everywhere else. @talk_fight is on Twitter. Obviously, Fight Talk and everything else. This is our new home. We're here. We're not going to be moving from here. We're going to be bringing you a huge amount of content in 2017 as well. We're going to have a lot of guests on the big screen TV looking beautiful. I'm looking forward to it. Merry Christmas. Enjoy it with your loved ones. Be safe. Don't drink and drive. Don't do drugs. And take your vitamins.